Welcome to another edition of Brick House, breaking down NBA preview for the 2015-2016 season, counting down the teams, the 30 teams in the NBA from worst to the best, greatest teams. But we're still at the NBA draft lottery, Matt.
Still quite a ways off.
We're at number 27, 27th best or fourth worst in the league. Our hometown team here. Our new hometown, L.A. Lakers.
One of the two teams here.
I got to thinking about the L.A. Lakers, Matt, and I couldn't help but thinking of the career arc of Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
He's a Hollywood darling, American icon.
Right.
Who's now a washed-up crazy person found talking to chairs.
Yeah.
The last year of Lakers basketball, you might equate to, say, the Jersey Boys. I'm sure there are a lot of people that would point to Clint Eastwood and say, hey, he just came out with American Sniper.
Yeah.
That was an American movie and really successful.
The most American movie of all time, I think.
Well, like the New York Knicks and Donald Trump, I want to remind people that being successful and good at something are not synonymous. You might say he's a good director. Just because they're making a lot of money doesn't mean they're not terrible. But people will deny it, and Lakers fans will deny that to the very end. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it, but last season the Lakers still had twice the ratings of the Clippers, nearly twice the ratings of the Clippers.
Wow.
A contender.
In Los Angeles or in America?
Well, that was L.A. They're both locally broadcast.
Right.
And of the two local broadcasts, the Lakers had almost twice as many.
And that's interesting because the station the Lakers are on, not every household gets that.
And somehow, like, 30 million people went and saw American Sniper in theaters, too.
Yeah.
Lakers fans and fans of this American Sniper movie, I think they have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a lot in common with climate change deniers also.
Okay.
I mean, you got to respect it about Lakers fans. I mean, I guess partially maybe because they have a stubborn loyalty. Despite how bad things get, they still say the Lakers are better than the Clippers, for example.
They'll ride Kobe till the day they
die. Kobe is the best player in the NBA currently, one leg, one shoulder. He'll beat LeBron James in a game of one-on-one.
Right,
and Lakers fans will stay this with a straight face. They're not joking.
Previously on the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think where the team all went wrong goes back to the previous NBA lockout. The owners had just attempted to change the collective bargaining agreement with the players to create more competitive balance in the league. They wanted the small market teams to have an equal chance, quote unquote, equal chance as the big market teams to win a championship and attract good players and the best players. And as soon as this deal gets done and they figure out a way to have a shortened season and not miss the entire season, the first big trade that happens, maybe the first trade at all that happens, is the New Orleans Hornets, who are temporarily owned by the NBA, trade their star point guard and possibly, probably at the time and still to this day, top three or four player in the league to the Los Angeles Lakers. And it was a three-team deal with the Houston Rockets that would have netted the Lakers, Chris Paul, and the NBA-owned Hornets would have got Lamar Odom, from the Lakers, and then Kevin Martin, Luis Scola, and Goran Dragic from the Rockets.
Right.
And the Houston Rockets would have got their long-coveted Pau Gasol from the Lakers. So the Lakers would have given up Odom and Gasol to get Chris Paul. They were on a mission to build their own big three out west with CP3, Kobe, and Dwight Howard. They thought they can lure any guy who's a master of catching alley-oops by first getting the guy who throws them, and not just convincing Dwight to play with, the sociopath Kobe doing a Michael Jordan impersonation. The trade was vetoed by David Stern, then commissioner. Dan Gilbert, who owned the Cleveland Cavaliers, and just before that had lost LeBron James to the fabled decision where he decided in free agency to leave the Cavaliers for the Miami Heat.
Right.
He was one of the biggest complainers about this Chris Paul deal.
I think Popovich too, right? Or Cuban, one of those.
I don't know. I don't know who else it was, but yeah, definitely the small market guys were just like, what the heck? I thought we just spent 50 hours locked in a room together trying to figure out how to prevent something like this. And then the first thing that happens is not only a trade to the Lakers, but the team that is owned by the NBA. You know, that's always going to be this what if that totally changed the future of the Lakers franchise. Their consolation prize at point guard, and since they didn't get Chris Paul, was getting Steve Nash from your Phoenix Suns.
Right, they did.
Which quickly made Lakers fans really happy again right away. Unfortunately, he got injured in the first few years with the Lakers, hardly contributed at all. I think he broke his leg 9 games into the first season.
In 3 years, he didn't even play 82 games with the Lakers, I think. So he didn't play a full season at combined over 3 seasons.
Who's that owner?
Owner is now the Buss family. It was formerly Jerry Buss, Dr. Jerry Buss. He's a legend.
Los Angeles legend.
Not only for his being a real estate tycoon, a chemist, a legendary playboy, a dude everyone wanted to play for in the NBA, but he's just spoken of with such reverence by everyone, including the other owners, something that their Tommy Boy son is quite lived up to, you know.
Right.
Not exactly Big Tom Callahan.
Yeah, that's good. That is true.
So it's the 1970s. Jerry Buss, he's a chemist. He's also a real estate investor. He made this like $1,000 investment when he was young that did really well, and he decided this is what I'm going to do. Quit chemistry and gets into real estate. And in 1979, he wants to buy the Lakers from Jack Cook. He owns the Lakers, and he can tell that he wants to sell. 15 hours before the deadline, he's still $2.7 million shy, right? He needs money, and he called Donald Sterling, who later became an infamous NBA owner.
Yeah.
He needs money, so he needs to cover some of this shortfall, right? So he sells him 11 Santa Monica apartment buildings. Part of that cash goes towards buying the Lakers. And then a couple years later, when the Clippers are on the block, Buss actually suggests to Donald Sterling that he buy the team.
Wow.
And Sterling famously bought that team for $2.7 million. Just 2 years ago, sold for $2 billion.
He bought it for $2 million?
$12.7.
Okay.
$12.7. But the Lakers actually were obtained. Okay, so he obtained the Forum for $33.5 million, the Lakers for $16 million, and the LA Kings, the hockey team, for $8 million. He also got Cook's $10 million ranch in California. It involved this like elaborate thing, and you look it up yourself, but Buss was not the highest bidder on the Lakers. He's got an in with Cook, and he's just told him whatever he wants, he can make it happen. And what Cook wants is the Chrysler Building in New York. And Jerry Buss doesn't own the Chrysler Building in New York.
Okay.
So he convinces the Chrysler owners to trade for some of Jerry Buss's high-rise apartments. They don't want Jerry Buss's high-rise apartments. So Jerry Buss arranges buyers for them. So he could trade the Chrysler Building for the high-rise apartments, and then he'll have the buyers set up for them so they can sell it immediately for a profit. Because, you know, he can't just trade the high-rises to Cook because Cook wants the Chrysler Building. It's a, you know, it's like a Daryl Morey trade. It's very complicated.
Wow.
A lot of ins, a lot of outs,
yeah.
A lot of what have yous. Unfortunately, Jerry Buss, he died at 80 years old of cancer. Now his team is left to a trust controlled equally by his 6 children. Jeannie in charge of business, Jim in charge of basketball with GM Mitch Kupchak. And Jim has promised that if the Lakers do not make a deep playoff run in 3 years, which he said in April 2014, that he would fire himself.
Right. So this is his second year.
This is the second year, which means they would need to make a deep playoff run next year.
Right. This year or next year.
And Jeannie Buss has said in an interview that, yeah, she would hold her brother to his promise. My prediction is there's a good chance that we have 80-year-old Phil Jackson coming back as a Lakers advisor as soon as a couple years from now. Jim is kicked to the curb.
Right.
And now, the starting lineup for your Los Angeles Lakers!
So, free agent-wise this year, they obviously have Kobe coming back. Free agent-wise, they picked up Brandon Bass, Roy Hibbert, and Lou Williams. Lou Williams will be their sixth man.
Right.
Brandon Bass will be there. And
Hibbert, Lou Williams, and Bass will be their better version of Nick Young.
Yeah, well, Nick Young is going to start for them. But Lou Williams might be better than him, yeah. Hibbert's going to start at center. I mean, he's all right, but I could totally see a scenario where Kobe just can't stand playing with Hibbert. I don't know if he'll just keep barking at Hibbert.
Oh, he made Dwight Howard feel small.
Yeah.
Roy Hibbert has obviously had some mental issue last year where he couldn't get rebounds all of a sudden for a 7'3"
right.
guy, couldn't score buckets. He's mentally fragile.
Yeah.
Kobe is definitely going to test him.
Like always.
Also,
like
I think he's the second highest paid player on the team.
He probably is. Like I always have been saying with these young teams, you go to their rookies and their young players. So their point guard this year is either they'll either start D'Angelo Russell or Jordan Clarkson. I would imagine they're going to start Clarkson right off the bat.
Yeah, you think? Yeah. First team rookie, right?
Yeah, give Russell. My thought is if you're going to start a point guard along Kobe and you want to risk Kobe belittling that point guard into submission, you probably want Clarkson to feel the effects before you let Russell.
Don't give it to the guy you're paying $5 million to. Let
right.
the guy you're paying $500,000.
They also have Randall at small forward or power forward. I remember that over the offseason when they were talking about the Lakers getting to Marcus Cousins, one of the rumors was that they would trade Randall, Clarkson, and Russell for DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Which I thought would have been a great trade for the Kings.
Right.
And
like a Knicks trade for
the
Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers. Because, I mean, you have the Cousins guy. Cousins looks, he's obviously the best player in the deal.
Yeah.
But then that leaves you with, it's a Kobe, Cousins, who knows what's going on this team. They're going to yell at each other and it's going to be hilarious type deal.
Yeah.
So now, I think it's a good thing for them. I think that trade didn't go through. They also were kind of banking on the fact that they would be able to get Marc Gasol or Kevin Love or LaMarcus Aldridge, which didn't happen. Plus, they have the young guards. They have young Randall. Again, this.
Who do you got at starting at small forward for him?
Probably Nick Young.
Nick Young,
yeah.
I had Larry Nance Jr. penned in there.
Yeah, Larry Nance.
But no one expected him to be a first-round pick,
yeah.
Let alone starter in the NBA.
Right. So, but the thing about this, last year, who did they – they got Boozer last year. They got Jeremy Lin. They got, Chris Kaman, right?
Jordan Hill.
But the point is they signed a bunch of random free agents that – if you sign Jeremy Lin and Boozer, you're like, oh, okay, that's not bad. But also, that's not bad if those aren't going to be your starters. Say, like, the Spurs went out and signed Lin and Boozer to be backups, you'd be like, okay, that's not bad because they're just backups. And they'll give you – they have limited playing time. They'll be decent. Problem with – like
the Lakers, it was starting five for the worst defensive team of all time.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, but that's the same now as – you trade for Hibbert and you trade for Bass, or you sign Bass. They all look like decent moves, but it doesn't strike me as moves that are going to lead to a very successful team.
Record prediction:
if Kobe plays a full season, they'll get, I don't know, I think they'll be 24 wins.
24 and 58.
Yeah,
I got 22 and 60 is my prediction.
Yeah.
Last season they were 21 and 61, but you're right, Kobe was out for a lot of that. They should finish in the bottom three if they were planning for the future because of that trade that they made with the Phoenix Suns for Steve Nash. The Suns got rid of that trade and actually gave it to the Sixers.
Sixers, of course.
But the Lakers only keep it this year if they finish in the bottom three. So if they get a top three pick in the draft, they keep it, and it rolls over to the next year for the Sixers. Falls outside the top three, the Sixers get it. Kobe was saying publicly that he'd like to end his career with an Olympic gold medal next summer in the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. And that seems to me like the biggest concession that he's had so far ever, to say, hey, this season coming up is we're not going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
You know, he's already looking forward beyond the entire season. I'm not a Laker hater. I'm not a Kobe hater. In fact, you know, I've rooted for the Lakers, for most of my life. They've always been an exciting team. I liked Phil Jackson from my grandparents. My parents are all from Illinois, and was always a Phil Jackson fan through the Jordan era. Followed him into Lakers era. Kobe had all his rookie cards. Really, you know, enjoyed his game when he was 17. Don't call me a Laker hater. Far from it. I'm just a lot more realistic than a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
How does LeBron James fit into all this?
Well, this summer LeBron James had his first big silver screen appearance in a movie called Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, okay.
Amy Schumer. Did you see it, Matt?
I did not see it.
Don't see it. It sucks.
Okay.
But I
heard it was getting rave reviews.
Rave reviews. Yep. Judd Apatow's movies get those rave reviews. They trick me every time.
Fair enough.
It's just nothing but dick jokes, Matt.
Yeah.
It's nothing but dick jokes.
You're right.
LBJ, he looked up to Will Smith. In fact, you know, he always wanted, if he wasn't going to be the best basketball player on the planet, possibly ever, he wanted to be the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he actually wasn't terrible in the movie. The movie didn't really give him a lot to do. I like LeBron so much, and I don't like so many movies that I would suggest, you know, if you're going to be a movie studio and you're going to make some stupid movie that you're going to release in January with Ryan Reynolds or Zac Efron in the lead.
Yeah.
Just let LeBron.
Let
LeBron do it.
Okay.
Let LeBron. Give him a chance. In the next 12 months, 50% chance the Cavs win. In the next 12 months, I would say there is like a 99% chance that LeBron James makes a movie with Kevin Hart.
Okay.
You heard it here first. Yeah.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
Since you've lived in Los Angeles, what is it, 6 or 7 years now?
Almost six.
Almost 6 years. What is Matt Baker's most L.A. story? Everyone's got an L.A. story. What's
simple?
Yours?
It's simple. I stood next to Brad Pitt at a urinal at an award show.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty L.A., isn't it?
Award
show, Brad Pitt.
What award show?
Critics' Choice Awards.
Critics' Choice.
About 4 years ago.
What were you doing there?
I was working as a PA on it.
Nice.
So another very LA thing to do.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of wandering around. When the show would start.
Looking for a place to pee.
Yeah. When the show would start, I would just decide that was my time to stop working and watch the show. Brad Pitt at this time, it was right around Moneyball.
Okay.
And also around this time, he injured his leg playing with his kids, so he had to use a cane to walk, and he also had a beard, so he was a bearded, crippled Brad Pitt.
Oh boy.
Who would sneak out of the side entrance during commercial breaks to go smoke.
Wow.
Then I went into the restroom, and who was my partner in this dance? Brad Pitt.
So did you stare straight ahead, or did you guys acknowledge each other?
There was no real acknowledgement. I might have said hey or something, just to like a hey, you know.
Nice.
Like a just a normal dude just standing here, you know, with hanging out.
On the next episode of Brick House.
The closing statement here, I just have to concede the Lakers are better than the Los Angeles Clippers. Mm-hmm. Kobe is the best player in the NBA. D'Angelo Russell, probably the next Penny Hardaway.
Right.
It'll probably be Lakers versus Cavs in the finals this summer, obviously. And Fantastic Four is the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. You've come full. You've come 180 degrees in 45 minutes. Congratulations.
The next team on Brickhouse Countdown has the longest tenured player in the NBA.
Wow.
And also the youngest non-rookie in the NBA. And preview, hint, one of them does all of the screaming at the other one. But you have to tune in next time to find out who's who.
Wow.
Until then, Matt, look forward to talking to you again.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Have a great night.
We'll be right back.